Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program, Gary Sharp, is back with us today. Gary, this is your third time on the program. You've officially reached and surpassed friend of the program status. Question for you, what is a number you would believe if Jeff told you how much he bench pressed, what is a number you would believe?
This right here. This will tell you. This will give you enough.
Right, yeah, there. That looks about 165 right there.
I like it. I like
that. That feels generous. That feels very generous.
How much does the bar weigh? That's what we're going to go.
Ooh, good question. All right. Yeah. This is Akron Houston Christian. Back-to-back, isn't
that's
it?
Right. That's right. Hey, and real quick, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, sign up for the newsletter, and follow all the social media accounts. And, of course, for football season, for your Sunday dinners, whatever it may be, get to oakbarnbeef.com. What goes better? What's more Nebraskan than football and beef? I can't think of it, folks. So go to oakbarnbeef.com, a Nebraska company, a family small business, growing small business, building their business in Nebraska. And it's the best beef you can find anywhere. They will deliver door to door across to all 50 states. So you Common Fan listeners, from sea to shining sea, you can order from oakbarnbeef.com. We can assure you it's the best beef out there. Everybody knows, you know, you might be driving along anywhere in Nebraska. You pull off at an unknown diner or restaurant or whatever. You're still going to get one of the best steaks you've ever had, right? And so Nebraska beef is the best. Oak Barn Beef is the best of the best. Go to oakbarnbeef.com to learn more.
Sir.
All right. Gary, how are you?
Good. I just want to say, you guys have, and first of all, thank you for inviting me back on. You guys have come a long way. Congratulations.
Wow.
We have a sponsor. You guys haven't been kicked off of the interwebs. Congratulations. and I do mean that sincerely with everybody that listens and follows. And I mean, you've expanded. We got the podcast. TJ's writing for Husker Max. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's still friends with Maddie and Geoff. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is a wonderful world that we live in.
You're very kind.
He's lucky we're still friends with him. His head has gotten so big, Gary. We have called him the general, but I think he's kind of letting that. He's got a little bit of an inflated ego. So
yeah, he said, hey, do you want to be on the show? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. And he goes, I'll have my people get in touch with you.
I'll have my assistant reach out.
Sorry, who are you guys again?
Right.
Just kidding. That's very kind of you to say. Thank you, Gary. You were one of our first guests, just a first of two or three months that we were doing this. And you were so generous to come on the program with a bunch of knuckleheads who went to high school together. And so we're thrilled to have you back for the third time. And it's been awesome to have the podcast kind of grow and be part of the fan ecosystem. And so we appreciate everything that you've done to be a part of that.
Well, kudos to you guys. You guys done a great job in growing this, and you have a very loyal audience.
Well, yes, thank you so much.
They are great.
Appreciate
you.
That. And yeah, we have the best audience. Many are saying the best audience, the best. All right, Gary. So I thought it was interesting. Sam McEwen, I think it was his Rewind piece. He mentioned this. Nebraska's 2001 team chiseled out a 21-7 win over a 6-6 TCU team that would eventually lose to a bunch of directional schools. That's not how he said it, but that's what it was. That team played for the national title.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pointed out Nebraska's 2002 team blasted a pretty good Arizona State team, but that team would go on to go 7-7. And so I think his point is, good or bad, sometimes we can read too much into these openers. If we put you on the spot, whatever today is, September 4th, year of our Lord 2025, what would you don't have to give a prediction, but do you think it's more likely that we're looking back at the Cincinnati game and saying, boy, they really took off from there? Or, oh boy, some of the issues that reared their heads in that game continued to pop up throughout the year?
That's a great question, because I brought that up. Like, how long will we continue to reference Cincinnati? Like, middle of October before Nebraska goes on the 2-game road trip, are we still talking about Cincinnati? I think we'll be talking about Cincinnati for the good of this program needs to establish a winning culture. And by winning the first football game when maybe you didn't play as well as you thought you would, I think that's what we'll reference. But there's also the possibility that some of those things that popped up on Thursday night were issues that we already knew going in that aren't going to be fixed necessarily by the middle of the year. And they might have to be fixed by personnel at the end of the year. So I hope Cincinnati is not a talking point when we get to the middle of October, kind of like, you know, last year where we went, something happened with UTEP and the wide receivers not getting off the line of scrimmage. That never changed. You know how Northern Iowa, that discussion was, wow, Northern Iowa could run the ball on Nebraska. So I think in this case, I think you're hoping that, you know, 4 or 5 weeks down the road, you've got those things fixed. And I know what's up in 3 weeks.
So, Gary, what about the Cincinnati game did you see that kind of maybe you expected, the most expected? Mm-hmm. And what about the Cincinnati game surprised you the most?
I think what I expected is defensive line looking different, what they wanted to do with them, that maybe they would struggle a little bit. And that was true. And then trying to establish the backup running back spot. So like everything that we all recognized and I think we thought and we asked questions about kind of came to fruition. But anything I saw on Thursday night is it's all fixable, you know, either with the guys that are at those positions or things they can do schematically, or quite simply, I think there were things with opening night where guys didn't execute properly. But it wasn't like anything glaring that you're like, uh-oh, they're in trouble. Now, the defensive line is going to be a work in progress, but I think it's encouraging that it's not like, oh, here we go. This is one of 12 weeks where it's going to be the same problem.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as the running back, I mean, you kind of alluded to it. Like the running back depth and how's the D-line going to be? Mm-hmm. Going to the running back room, do you think one of those younger guys, Nelson or Mosey, are going to be like the for sure number two, or do you think they're going to split? And then as like a second part of that question, do you think by midseason or for sure by the end of the season, Nebraska is going to regret a little bit not going a little harder in the portal for another running back?
Now, I think I'm a big Mekhi Nelson fan. I think him and Emmett are different than the rest of the room. And you have Mosey that's, you know, a wide receiver that's learning how to play running back, or he is a running back that runs like a wide receiver. So that's kind of a work in progress. I think in that game, it was kind of a disjointed game, and Emmett was like, they kept him on the field for a lot of stuff. And, you know, he also is a guy that could pass block. So it was kind of disjointed in terms of the rotation, and that's been clear, you know, post game of who didn't like what, you know, how many snaps you got. I think they will be better as they get more time. There's some guys on this roster that just need to play football. You know,
right.
I think they're good football players. They just haven't played much football. And so the more reps they get, the more snaps they get in live Saturdays, I think will benefit them. I want to go back. I think there was one area that really surprised me. I didn't think the linebackers outside of Vincent Shavers were very good. I thought Watson Trent kind of, you know, he looks a little undersized. He was absent on Thursday night. And then I have big hopes for Javon Wright. I don't think he played very well. So that would be an area that popped up that I was not expecting. But the other two that we've talked about, I think I had concerns, and there's still concerns, but I think they're very much, they can be fixed with more playing time and better execution.
Sure. So you're a listener to the podcast, obviously. I mean, you've seen the graphics have gotten better. the way we present is a lot better now. So you've probably heard us talk about, you know, in the off season, drinking the Roulade and, you know, having a full off season with Dana Holgorsen at the helm, getting this offense juiced up and ready to go. The one thing I think a lot of people have said, myself included, was buying into that. And I think a lot of people just expected us to just blow out the doors right away on offense. Yep. Not a lot of deep shots, nothing too mind blowing. Owen said it on a previous episode, a little bit almost vanilla. Is that a concern, or is there going to be more to this offense in the future that maybe we're just trying to get into that game, walk away with a W, and not really try to be too, you know, showmansy or fancy or anything like that?
I think there's more to the offense. I think this is when I look at this offense, and first of all, you look around college football the opening week, you're glad to have an experienced quarterback who is going to make his 15th start against Akron. I think Nebraska has enough players on offense that can make plays. My worry, and this comes with recruiting and adding more Jimmys and Joes, do they have difference makers? They have enough guys to make plays, but there's a difference between guys that make plays and the guys that are, like at Ohio State, that are difference makers. I think this offense, as they grow together, will find a way to finish drives. That's the biggest thing, is Nebraska can move the ball, but can they finish drive and put points up? Because at the end of the day, it's got to be points. You know, and it seems like it's a struggle to get to three touchdowns. You would expect with Dana, you know, moving the chess pieces around and Dylan, you know, being the maestro, that they would be able to score three touchdowns willy-nilly. That's the next step in this offense, is when they get inside of the 40, you feel like you got a field goal kicker that's going to give you a chance to consistently put up three. But Nebraska needs to find a way to score from outside of the red zone. That big play, that explosive play that's been talked about all offseason and now post first game, is when they get inside the 40, they got to have points up. Because I think they can get into the red zone, and they were 3-for-3 on Thursday night. But when they get inside of the 40, that's when points have to be secured.
Sure.
So sticking with the offense, Gary, you know, Dylan, you look at his numbers, I think he was 33 of 42, two touchdowns, 243 yards or something like that. You look at the stat sheet and hey, that's a solid outing. Good outing, mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
You know, some people, again, like Husker fans never miss an opportunity to completely overreact to things. Some people say, okay, look, he still looks, you know, he doesn't look mobile like just like last year, or he's just a game manager or this or that. What was your take on how Dylan looked on Thursday night?
Well, you know, Dylan wants the smoke. I mean, Dylan likes the attention. He draws the attention. If you've ever been in a room where he walks in, you're like, wow, it's Dylan Raiola. So it just seems like every time he misses, and there were probably two key misses in that game. There was the 4th-and-2 where Key was wide open, never saw him. Then there was the play where if he hits Mills in stride, and I think that's the next step for Dylan. He's got to hit wide receivers more in stride. It just seems like his misses are bigger. You're like, oh. I think, and let me turn and ask you guys this about Dylan. Do you think what we want from Dylan is drastically different from what Nebraska needs from Dylan?
That's a good question.
I think I'll jump in and then you guys jump in too. I'll answer that. Here's what I think, Gary. I found myself watching that game and thinking, is this just going to be what it is? Like, does Matt Rhule want to play this Iowa-Minnesota ball control type of game where we hold on to the ball. I assume down the road in future games, we'll see more deep shots and a few Dana Holgerson wrinkles. But it looked to me like Satterfield plus a little bit, right? Like maybe a little better than what we saw from the $1.4 million man, but not what we expected from Dana Holgerson, right?
Yeah.
Who, you know, we have a running bit on this show where we envision him, you know, sitting at diners outside of Lincoln, slamming Red Bull and drawing up plays on napkins, right?
Yes.
And so where were those plays? Where were those plays from all of the offseason, right? So I guess I don't know if that's an answer, but I found myself thinking, is this what Matt Rhule wants it to be? And then you look at Holgerson's comments on Tuesday, and he didn't seem happy with a lot of what happened. So I think there's hope there that maybe there were some first game kinks they're working through and whatever else. But it sure seems like Rhule's track record is that he wants to be a defensive guy. And at least his first 2 years at Nebraska, they've tried to kind of play this ball control game. I think what fans want to see is the five-star quarterback opening it up a little bit.
I think no one's
looking for Florida's fun and gun here, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But I think fans, between Holgerson and Raiola in year two, I think fans were expecting, you know, we'd have enough of a threat in the passing game that was going to be explosive, and then that would make life easy for Emmett too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right. Matt or Jeff, any thoughts on that?
I think we are knowledgeable enough football fans that we had seen Dana's offenses at Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and Houston and West Virginia and seen what those look like, right? So I think that's kind of what we expect. I think Dana's, I want to say he's evolved, but I think he's got the capability to adapt to what the game plan requires, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it already. Cincinnati's in cover three deep. You're asking for trouble if you're going to try to throw over the top in that, against that coverage. I think, going back to Dylan, I think Dylan did exactly what was asked of him on Thursday night. And just making accurate throws, making good throws in the zone, which we've established he's very good against zone coverage. And I think Dylan will continue to do what he's asked to do. And then I said this on Monday's episode, Dana and Dylan had both said, take what the defense gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I don't know necessarily know, and TJ, maybe you're right. Maybe Matt Rhule wants that, but to me, it seems like he's kind of turned the keys of the offense over to Dana and Dylan.
Definitely.
And just said, hey, you know, go do what you do. So I don't know. I think it kind of remains to be seen. I think Dylan will just do what's required. You know, I don't think he's going to be the type of guy to say, you know what, forget this. I'm calling an audible and we're going to chuck it deep to Hunter or Key or Barney. So I don't know.
I'm going to go kind of the opposite direction here, guys.
Oh, of course.
I will. I got to stir the pot here.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah.
Of course, we all want the five-star quarterback to huck it and chuck it and win the Heisman, but that's what we want. I think Dylan's giving us exactly what we need, and that's freaking wins, you guys. We're talking about, like, it's almost like it sounds like we didn't win the game. We beat Cincinnati. We should be happy right now. We're 1-0. We against Power Four school. We've got 2 weeks to go till we get to Michigan. So we've got a couple games in front of us where we can kind of get our footing, figure out what we're doing. The bottom line is we need to win games. That's just what we need to do. And that's what Dylan is here to provide us and what Coach Rhule and Holgerson are here to do for us. We won a game. We got a W. Yes, we want to see the five-star quarterback just blow the doors off, but I am down for just wins on paper. And to me, that's all that matters.
I think if that game was the opener last year with Dylan, and granted, he's a year older, and then you had Satterfield, I think Nebraska's in trouble because I think they get antsy. You know, you heard the phrase cowboy plays. And I would like to see Dylan cook a little bit. But you had a quarterback that was smarter because Cincinnati was, they were going to give you stuff underneath, but they were also daring you to challenge them. So you get a little antsy and you want to show off that big boy arm. And I thought Dylan, who, you know, there were other things that he did, slide in the pocket, some of the other like little small things. They're like, okay, that's different from last year. I think Dylan not getting antsy, but more importantly, Dana not getting antsy, that was like, you know what? We haven't called a deep shot in a while. Here we go. I think that was a sign of maturity of the quarterback, that his OC was like, I'm not going to take it. Teams that played Dylan in high school dared him to take that deep shot. Sometimes it would end up in an interception. Cincinnati kind of dared you, but Nebraska said, no, we're not going to do it. But another part of the game plan is it was weird because Barney fell down on a play. You know, there was a downfield block that if it's executed, Lindenmeyer's in the end zone. It was just, there were like simple things that pop up during the first game that are pure execution when you're going at game speed against somebody that's not dressed like you that I think caught Nebraska off guard. And I think also Nebraska not consistently being able to run the football threw some things a wrench, but Nebraska was a smart football team on offense, I thought, on Thursday night, when sometimes last year they weren't very smart and they were really, really boring. But in this case, they were just doing, like Geoff said, enough to get you a victory.
Gary, listen, we're never going to tell you what to say, but please don't ever credit Geoff for anything.
We're guessing, guys. Me and him all the way.
Hey,
I thought it was for what I've done.
we're all Catholic school boys. I thought it was interesting. Rule said something to the effect on his Monday press conference about, or maybe somebody was paraphrasing. I can't remember where I saw this. He seemed to suggest Ja'Cory was kind of not himself after getting what looked like cut in half on one of those early plays. I was just happy to see Barney, as he does, pop right back up, and God bless that kid. But you didn't see the usual Ja'Cory Barney after that. Thought it could have just been the way the game played out. Do you think there's like lingering issues there? Did he get a little nicked up there?
I think Nebraska's lucky. You know, okay. Bonner becomes the fifth guy that is out for the year. The hit that he took. When Barney got bent backwards, I was like, I mean, fortunately for him, he got lucky. But you're right, TJ. He wasn't the same after it. I don't think there'll be any lingering stuff outside of post being bent back that game, because he wasn't the same, in terms of the way they used him or his explosiveness.
Yeah.
But that allowed a guy like Hunter all of a sudden to say, hey, here I am, you know, and we got to see, I think there's something starting with Hunter. I think he's going to be a definitely reliable resource for Dylan in this passing game. Just got to get guys blocking downfield, not on the edges like we talked all about last year, but a little bit further downfield in the middle of a play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the fall of 1997 on the Pius X Central Catholic High School freshman football team, that used to happen to Jeff all the time. Just,
it's all through. Pulverized. I led the team 90 pounds wet, soaking wet.
And he was the up guy on the punt team.
He was in
right away. All right. So Nebraska football is in a place where they can never assume anything. Okay. But let's assume for a moment that they can take care of business against Akron and Houston Christian. And so let's set aside those as W's. I know maybe I shouldn't put that out into the universe, but let's just assume that. Aside from winning, what's like the top three or four things, or one or two, or however many you want to give, they need to try and accomplish this next 2 weeks before they get Michigan and, you know, really get into conference play?
More reps for guys. And I think consistency. And then they also have to find a couple of guys like Riley Van Poppel. We all expect a lot of things out of Riley Van Poppel. He got a single digit, didn't get a black shirt. And we were like, middle of the summer, if you guys are listing, okay, this guy's going to get a black shirt, this guy, Riley Van Poppel's near the top. I think they just need consistency, whether it be a tackle or the nose. And then I also think to figure out some of the rotations. You know, they rotated a lot of guys on that defensive line. They played a lot of different combos, and they were trying some things with stunts and other things they don't normally do that they got caught. You know, I think just guys getting comfortable. They got 2 weeks to really get reps down. I know we'll look and go Akron, awful, Houston Christian, FCS. I think these are two big weeks for Nebraska, like to grow. Outside of all of us, people will go, look who they're playing. I think internally they go, no, 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 no. We can't be stumbling and fumbling. We have to come out and look like we prepped well, we've taken our assignments seriously, and we play good football so that we have some momentum build up over the next couple of weeks, that we have something to hang our hat on. Yes, we're 3-0, but we like the way we're playing going into the game where there's going to be so many more eyeballs on you than have been all season.
I agree. Got to put up points, in my opinion. We need to blow the doors off these dudes.
They're going to have to score five touchdowns if they want to, at least five touchdowns if they want to cover against Akron. I know that.
you gambling degenerate. Yeah.
You know that.
But it feels like, you know, like last year, the UTEP game was a nice little margin. This feels like this should be like a 42-7 game. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing in like changing, you know, the narrative changes when you win. You want to, everybody's like, well, you know what? He's not that nice of a guy. Well, the narrative changes a lot. You can change it when you're winning. I think Nebraska, the manner that they win football games, now the standard is a little bit higher. When I say, yeah, Nebraska won, but it wasn't the way they wanted to win. You know, Cignetti has already started that tone in Bloomington. They win a close game on the scoreboard against ODU, but it didn't feel like it. And he goes, that's not the way we wanted to win. We should have put four more touchdowns up. I think that's the next step, is Nebraska wins the way they want to win. And they win something like 42-7, and good teams win, great teams cover, and you're like, you know what? That's a comfortable win. It's not like back in the heyday when they were putting up 70. You know, I don't know if they have the ability to do a USC 73 or an Oregon 59, but 42-7 against an Akron, I think you'd walk out and go, guys got to play, they look good, they fix some things, now on to the next one, and they're 2-0.
Speaking of how they want to win, when Matt Rhule says he expects every game to be, you know, 17-16 or whatever he said, is that more like a message to his team, like, don't get comfortable? Or
a little bit.
Like, I think because fans see that, and sometimes it's like, look, the defense has a bunch of young guys and a new coordinator. It's probably not going to be the Tony White special of 2023 and 2024. Could the offense go win us a few games, please?
Yeah, I think it's the mindset of, you know, probably half of Nebraska's games, guys, are going to be close games, you know, and they're trying to establish really. I look at Nebraska football this way in year three of Rhule. So you talk to enough people that spend a lot of time around the program. There is nobody I've run into in the offseason.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC supply in-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
That disagrees, and even in camp, that has watched numerous practices, that disagrees with anything Nebraska's doing. They like the way they go about their business. They like the people in the program. They got high character guys. They practice the right way. The only thing missing is the winning culture. And we all would like to have that sooner than later, but it takes some time. Winning is hard. And we'll see, I think, you know, during this stretch, because they don't go, I mean, they've got an opportunity here. They don't go back on the road until October 11th, which will be their first true road game. And will it be really a true road game out of Maryland? You know, then they got Minnesota. So I think, you know, like the next couple of weeks are important. Then, of course, the Michigan game is really, really important. But I think they want them to get the mindset is you're going to play close games. We don't want you to be in close games. The best way not to play close games is to blow people out or to win by 10, 14 points. But that mindset that every game is going to be close and it's going to be the little things. And, you know, you look on Thursday night, special teams helped win Nebraska a game, not lose it. And they didn't turn the ball over. You know, you could say, well, what about turnover? Well, you know, there was a drop pick six. There was a fumble that somehow mysteriously came back to the quarterback. But Cincinnati could say the same thing. You know what? A guy just fell down when he could have, if Barney turns the corner or Mosey turns the corner, they hit their head on the goalpost. So I think that mindset is we're going to play in close games. It's the little things that will help us be better in close games. And then maybe they don't turn into a close game.
Yeah. No. But what's the old Bobby Bowden quote where it was, you know, first you lose big, then you lose close, and then you win close, and then you win big. We haven't mastered the winning close thing yet. Like, if that's a real stage of development process in, you know, taking over a program and coaching them, like, we just got our first close win in who knows how long. Like, there haven't been many of those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I cringe a little bit when I hear coach say, you know, we expect every game to be a one-point game. It's like, really? Like, we don't.
Well, and you know,
it's
Maddie,
like you have to master that.
Yeah. You know, Maddie, one thing, guys, like, for example, when Nebraska goes up 20-10 Thursday night, Cincinnati gets the ball back. What happened? Instead of shutting them down and giving the ball back to the offense that even if you kick a field goal, you're up 13 or you score a touchdown, you're up 17 and you're like, all right, Q39 for everybody on the sidelines. But the defense gave up a touchdown drive. And the next thing you go from being up 10 to now you're only up a field goal. And you're going, oh, boy, here we go again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, I'm glad that you brought up close games and special teams. That's something that I think a lot of other programs definitely, I don't want to say this. They just don't. They underappreciate it because they've had it good for so long. And Nebraska has just struggled with special teams for as long as I can remember. And to your point, like, winning by a field goal, if Kyle Kanaan doesn't make a 52-yard field goal, we go to overtime or worse, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I guess the question I have is, it's a big deal for us, is do we have ourselves a kicker, or just is our special teams just going to flip this year? What do you think about that?
I think there's more accountability. Were you guys, you know, because, I mean, Archie Wilson kicks in his first college game. He helped you huge on that last drive. You know, they started at the 9. They didn't start like at the 35. He had another big punt in that game. You mentioned Kanaan kicks two field goals, one being 52. And I think they thought about in the second half, even going for a long field goal, which last couple of years has been absurd. I think there's more accountability. Were you guys taken aback where we all went, man, special teams were great, Coach Rule. And Monday, he's like, we should have blocked that punt. And we're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I think the accountability factor throughout the special teams is much greater. And there's more of a sense of urgency because they have 2 years of evidence of, hey, we lost some games because special teams weren't good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know why that is. Mike Eckler is from David City, Nebraska. So that's why that is.
That's called a softball. There you go, TJ.
That's where the Burkles come from.
I mean, another thing like accountability, Nebraska, what was it, the second kickoff goes out of bounds. What happens the third time Nebraska kicks off? Different guy.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I will say, overall, I was overjoyed with the special teams. And like, we talked so many times the last, you know, since we started this podcast, if the special teams could just like not make mistakes a la Iowa, just be average, just be functional, that probably flips a handful of games each year, the last several years. So I'm not complaining about the special teams, but the next step I think also is I loved it that we were trying to return punts and trying to return kicks. The punt returns went nowhere. And the kick returns, I think at least two or three times, did not get to the 20-yard line. So it's a work in progress, but overall, the stuff that really matters.
Dang it, we're getting there.
Kicking field goals and kickoffs and punts were so much better that We'll take it for now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, and TJ, you're a greedy bastard. You wanted it all in the first game.
Take that, General.
Do you guys think that just fair catching on kickoff returns is the better option for Nebraska? Then you start at the 25, because they didn't get out to the 25 on Kenneth Williams' kickoff returns.
I think if you run the numbers, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends on where if you're fielding at the 5, like, yeah, take your shot and bring it out. But yeah, anything that's at the goal line, you know, maybe just let it go into the end zone or fair catch it.
Based on our track record, I say fair catch it. Get it to the 25 guaranteed.
I agree with Jeff there. Just take it at the 25. But I understand a coach's perspective saying we're never going to get good at this without doing it. Right. And you have to do it in games. Right. Yeah. So I get that. And maybe the next 2 weeks, especially Akron and Houston Christian, you say we're returning every kick no matter what and trying to get better at this. But from a fan perspective with lots of years of PTSD, I'm holding my breath at every kick and punt return. And it's kind of like just fair catch the kickoffs, the punts. I don't mind trying to return, but why is it that when we punt there seems to be room to run. And every time another team punts, there's like four guys. Like DeCorey caught the ball once, and it felt like he was surrounded by Cincinnati dudes. And I was like, how did he even catch that ball?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I don't know why or how that happens, but it just seems to happen all the time.
Yeah, and I think in those cases, and you know, he didn't fair catch, but they went after the punt, so he had nobody back there with him, you know, to help him. And good that he caught the punt, because you're right, TJ. There was one time he was surrounded by, a lot of Cincinnati guys. And, you know, he's like, hey, you guys had Skyline Chili before the game. I can smell it, you know.
speaking of which, have you ever had Skyline Chili?
Yes.
It's kind of gross.
It's way too much cheese.
Not a big chili guy.
And it's a little bit soupy.
It's just kind of like meat sauce.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
But they will. So people from Cincinnati will die on the hill of Skyline Chili like Nebraskans die on the hill for Runza.
Mm. Nebraska. Yep. Not all. Let's be for all of them.
I knew down, where this was going.
Get out of here, Jeff.
Calm down.
Jeff can't help himself.
Give him a break. Remove him.
Wait till you hear about the new sponsor of the Common Fan Podcast.
Skyline Chili. Gary, when Nebraska wins the next two and they're 3-0 going into the Michigan game, are we in the top 25 and does game day come to Lincoln?
I don't know about being in the top 25. The problem is with game day, Florida, Miami play that weekend. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, if Michigan wins Saturday night in Norman, I think Big Noon comes to Lincoln. And even though they don't have the game, I think they make an appearance because that would be a Michigan game for Portnoy.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they don't go. Mm-hmm. They usually don't go to the place they have the game. And I know Illinois, Indiana are playing that same weekend, but Michigan, Nebraska, two gigantic brands. We'll see.
Yeah.
Can I say something? You bring up a good point. Can I just say something? Illinois, I think everybody's high on Illinois, and they're a top 15 team right now, right? Indiana made a playoff game last year. I don't think most of the college football world cares about either of those two teams, even though they're good right now. I think most of your old school college football fans would rather watch Michigan, Nebraska, even if neither are ranked in the top 25, than Indiana, Illinois. Anybody thought? I mean,
That's probably true. I mean, in Illinois, Indiana seems like a very concentrated part of the country would be interested in that game, right? Like Michigan, Nebraska, I think have fans all over the country. Illinois does have Bert Bielema, though. So, I mean,
that's true.
A lot of people want to watch Bert.
By the way, sneaky line this weekend, they play in Durham against Duke as a 2.5-point favorite. That is, you know, week two, you get these sneaky lines. So let's, this is that, TJ, that's a great question. Because if you're in the Big Ten office, and I think the bottom of the Big Ten is atrocious, but the top is elite. Mm-hmm. From the Big Ten perspective, what benefits you more? Indiana-Illinois battling as a top 15 matchup, or two major brands that one will be ranked and the other is close to being ranked in Nebraska-Michigan? If you're the Big Ten and you're in the office, what are you more, what is better for your league?
I think Nebraska-Michigan. I guarantee you, okay, let's I bet there's, you know, there's data, ratings, whatever. Mm-hmm. I bet Nebraska-Michigan will have more eyeballs.
Definitely.
And I think it's fascinating with their true freshman five-star QB. Why is his name escaping me?
Bryce Underwood.
Bryce Underwood. Is Sharon Moore still sitting out that game for his punishment?
Yeah.
So Sharon Moore won't be there. And then...
are you calling him Sharon?
It's his name, Jeff.
I don't think that's how it's pronounced.
I thought it was Sherrod. I thought you were calling him Sharon.
I think it was a little intentional dig, Jeff.
TJ has already fast forwarded to a couple of weeks from now in Michigan Hate Week.
I'm just saying the man's name, Jeff.
Okay.
Sharon Moore won't be there. And like you brought Bryce Underwood versus Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
Two major brands. I guarantee you, at least on this program and probably lots of others, we're going to be talking about 1997 that whole week. Hmm. I think I'm trying to think of something else. Two really good programs that had maybe they're not at Ohio State's level right now, but like, I'd rather watch Wisconsin, Michigan State, let's say, teams that over this century have won the conference or played for the conference title several times and traditionally been top 15 teams and maybe are a little down from where they've been. I'd rather watch that than Indiana, Illinois. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird.
You're biased. All right. Just to give you some background here, Gary, last year, TJ was offended that Indiana even tried to field a football team and he can't stand that Illinois plays in fake Memorial Stadium. So he's just got hatred for both of those programs anyway. But take what he says with a grain of salt.
Last year, Gary, after we got smoked by Indiana, some random Indiana fan found my clip from the preseason where I was saying that I was insulted that they even had a team and posted it on the Common Fan Twitter account. And I was honored that like we were a go-to source for the opposing team. So it was hard to be too mad about it.
There weren't a lot of people that predicted Indiana last year. Good on them. I think Cignetti is good for the Big Ten. I think the meaty middle is good for the Big Ten. More teams that are pushing the middle closer to the top.
Do you know what they're saying about Kurt Cignetti?
What are they saying, TJ?
Many are saying he's like Mo Green. Okay. Yeah. I've said this on this program before. Hyman Ross says, I knew Mo, talking loud, saying stupid things. That's Kurt Cignetti. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Matt, it looked like you had something.
No, yeah.
You had to get that in there.
No, I just had a little about in Indiana, Illinois. I think for me, going back 30 plus years of being a college football fan, I think I have too much thoughts of like 11 a.m. kickoff and Indiana or Illinois playing, and they're just not that good. And I think it's just kind of weird getting used to them being even top 20, top 15, and having that feel legitimate as, you know, like we have room to talk. I mean, the last decade or so has not been great, but like we always say we've been to the mountaintop, we're Husker fans, like, you know. So I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question, Gary.
Well, here's another part. Like, there's, you know, ironically, the Nebraska-Akron game is going at the same time as Oklahoma-Michigan. Don't you want Michigan to win that game? They roll into Lincoln unbeaten, because 100%. Then, you know, and then that's a huge, like, litmus test for where Nebraska is at. You want people to go, man, that's a pretty good Michigan team that's coming in here that Nebraska has a chance to upset, instead of, oh boy, that's Michigan of last year again with a very expensive quarterback.
Sure. I agree.
And it might be a little scary if they go into Norman and play really well and shut down Mateer, and all of a sudden they're rolling and here they come in 2 weeks.
I agree with one caveat. The insecure Husker fan in me wants to see them win, but I want to see a few things that like make them look vulnerable. Like, okay, they're going to stay in the top 15, but we can still beat them also. That's just the beaten down state of our fan base right now.
Oh, yeah.
For me, personally, to answer the question before, I just go by the numbers that are next to their name. So if it's two ranked teams, I'd rather watch that game. Sorry, guys.
Do you watch football, Jeff? It's not always clear. That's all I'm saying. All right, Matt, Jeff, do you guys have anything else for our distinguished guest here today?
I have something. I just want to get your take, Gary, on, you know, the way that that Coach Rhule and the Husker media / video team have really, in my opinion, really stepped their game up this year. There's been a little bit said about Coach Rhule and him starting his podcast, and is that a distraction, all those things, but I think it's great. You know, I think it's another way to get out to recruits and families and things like that. So what do you have any thoughts on that?
I think they're taking advantage, and he's taking advantage of how comfortable he is talking about Nebraska. You know, am I allowed to mention Scott Frost on this? Can I?
We'll clear it with the board of directors afterwards. But go right ahead. Yeah,
it's always great for clicks, as you probably know. So go.
Yeah. I think because the way we look at this program, and there's so much passion for it, you want the person that is in the power chair to share the same passion for the program, that they enjoy being here. And it's not the easiest job in the world. You know, you can say, well, look at what you get paid. Well, yes, that's true. But there's a lot that goes into running a Fortune 500 company. And I think what is attractive to people about Rhule is that he is genuine when he wants to be here and he enjoys being the head coach at Nebraska. And I think because of that, he's comfortable in selling the program and talking about the program. And instead of fighting all of the attention his program gets, he is like embracing that and using that as an advantage. And then a step forward is Nebraska has to be different. You know, they don't have the wins and the trophies to say, hey, we're right with all those other teams. So what is Nebraska doing to be different? And I think reaching out and Rhule being out there, going on McAfee, doing his own podcast, doing the walk and talk, you know, talking about football that doesn't have anything to do with Nebraska, but then talking about Nebraska, I think is fantastic because he's their best PR coach that the athletic department has ever had. And he's comfortable doing that. And guys, I think this is Matt Rhule's only stop. I think when he's done coaching, his last stop is Nebraska. But I think we're starting to get a look into his future down the road, whether that be 7 or 10 years, that he's going to be one of us. He's going to be sitting in your chair, TJ, hosting a podcast. Okay. Because he's comfortable doing that. And why not use that to your advantage? You use it to your advantage behind closed doors with recruits. Now just let more people that haven't come to visit you see you. So I'm perfectly fine with that. Also, you guys have regular jobs. I have a regular job. We can do a weekly podcast and it doesn't ruin our main job.
Right.
So he's able to balance all of that. And I think he wouldn't do it, guys, if he wasn't comfortable with where his program is or who's inside of his program, whether they will wear helmets or headsets, that he can trust them, that he doesn't have to be 24/7 looking over everybody. You know, he hires people and he recruits people to do their job. Do your job.
Yeah, it's possible his podcast has a few more followers and viewers than ours, but no, and there would be no way of knowing for sure.
Gary just said he's taking your seat, so that he's taken over the head seat.
What would happen if TJ and Matt Rhule switched?
We don't want that.
there would be a lot of losing for Nebraska football is what would happen. Also, I just want to clarify, no one's been able to confirm that Jeff actually does have a job. So I just want to throw that out there for purposes of full disclosure. Final question, Gary. Final question, Gary. Your dear friend Michael Sabir came on the program and we went through every game on the schedule and did predictions before the season started. Yes. And he's got Nebraska beating Michigan. He even said he was more concerned about Cincinnati than he was about Michigan. I know we're a couple of weeks away, but no one really wants to talk about Akron or Houston Christian. You want to give us a Michigan prediction?
Nebraska wins. I have Nebraska being 9-3.
Boom.
Okay. So do I. Yeah.
And what I saw on Thursday didn't all of a sudden go, oh, should I have gone 8? Should I have done the coward pick of 8-4? Because everybody was doing 8-4. No, I'm sticking with 9-3. And part of that equation was they beat Michigan.
Nice. Okay. Well, and everyone that comes on now and says 8-4, we're going to call them cowards. And
yeah. Yep. And I say that sarcastically because that became the popular one of, oh, well, why don't you just say 10-2? Well, no, I'm going to say 7-5. You know, so everybody was saying 8-4. My thing is I looked at this season because, again, going back to the beginning, when we were talking about Cincinnati, and let's hopefully middle of October, you don't reference Cincinnati. Is right. The month of November will determine where this program is. I know that's a long way away and you got to play some key games before then, but when you get to November, it will tell me everything I need to know about where Nebraska football is in year three, because there's four different tests that are four different kind of different type of tests. The Nebraska, if they want to get to where they think they can get as a program, those are great games to challenge you. It's just you can't fast forward. You got to go now. We got to go Akron. We got to go Houston Christian. And then, of course, Michigan. But I think November is it'll be the month to remember in year three.
Yeah, I agree with Gary here, fellas. I agree. You want to know why? Because words matter. Words matter. The term leap, 8 wins isn't a leap to me, all right? You get to 9 or 10 wins, you're in the year three, quote unquote, leap. 8 is not a leap. I'm with Gary on this one.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a high school basketball intramural champion. So, you know,
right.
This is not right. Just,
Grant Wistrom recognized my game. You guys recognize me.
I mean, we don't know. You know, like it's the one thing that is still a mystery is to me is they're trying to establish a winning culture. So Thursday helps because you won a game and you can feel good about yourself, but you have stuff to work on. Is what if Nebraska gets on a roll and they become ranked after they played 4 games? How does a program that hasn't had success deal with success? You know, when people on campus are patting you on the back and all of a sudden you see a number next to your name, you know, that's like the next step of how do you deal with that? It'd be a good problem to have this year. Definitely.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, well, they didn't handle it too particularly well last year. That happened briefly last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm still holding out hope that this can be like the Minnesota 2019 season. But then we followed up with something even better after that. So,
well, I've said for the longest time, and you guys have kind of referenced this throughout the offseason, is whatever happens this year sets up next year. And I think internally they don't say it out loud, but I think everybody knows that if you have success and you grow and you make a leap, you'll have some things to fix in terms of personnel next year, but you like what you have coming back, and then you become not just the trendy, oh, they're going to be a sleeper. All of the off-season Kool-Aid stuff that we say, oh, don't drink the Kool-Aid, that becomes just natural discourse throughout the off-season where you're like, yeah, that's who they are. It's not Kool-Aid, it's reality, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's like an 18-month journey here with the season starting of we'll know everything we need to know during that time period.
Oh,
amen.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff with friend of the program, Gary Sharp. Gary, thanks for spending so much time with us. Awesome to have you back on. Any final words from you, sir?
No, I'm a huge fan of you guys. I'm so happy for your growth and everything that you guys are getting to do because I know where this started. And I know where it's headed. So you guys were one of the first. Now there are podcasts everywhere. Everybody's got a podcast. I mean, all three of you have a podcast on the side besides this podcast. So, but you guys were one of the originals, and I'm glad to see it's still around and how much it has grown and your audience has grown and how people reference the conversations. And I can tell you this as somebody now, a three-timer. You guys make it very easy for people to come on this show and talk football, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh man!
Thank you, man. That's
you're,
awesome.
You're class
get this man some socks. Just get him some socks. We'd
love to have you on over and over if you're going to keep saying that kind of stuff.
Nice. And did I say enough to get an invite to the tailgate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It was implied.
We just have to figure out which game that's going to be. Still, Gary, yeah. We haven't quite figured that out yet.
Works out.
Yeah. So,
All right, Comet fans, thanks for hanging with us. Husker fans play or Huskers play on Saturday, and we'll be back at you after that. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.